Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michel, and we're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 262. I'm Josiah Sat for the Villain on Twitter at @comic_syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys, the intro is long, and I have a long show. I have a feeling it's going to go long, so fuck it. Let's hit it, guys. All right, here we go. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 262. I'm sorry, fuck me, we're 262 right now. 162. We entitled #Nevermore. Trip out on the date it was recorded, October 17th, 2016, so obviously constitutes to 2 years ago, with the 5 months I was missing. This is one of those things I love doing, so if my birthday lands on a day when we were ever recording, it's like, I don't like celebrating my birthday, and I love doing this, so I want to be doing this on my birthday. So, just a little shout out to me, I guess. Yeah, members of Being Ran Out for the Villain share some weekend stories. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Hit NFL Talk, NFL Week 6 recap. And Week 7 picks, then roll some what the fuck news. Accused bank robber duped dad into giving her a ride to her quote-unquote job interview. Hey, Pops, can you take me to my job interview? Sure, just wait outside. And when I say book it, we're going to book it, Dad. We hit Jesus shit list. Teen girl killed dad. Had friends move in for a drug-filled party, quote-unquote. Continue spooky story talk. Okay, so spooky story talk, month of October, I normally like. I like doing this scary, spooky vibe, hence spooky story talk, and just the vibe. And off the top of my head, actually, I'll go into that because I think I have it. Let's see. Continue spooky story talk with two to get comfy for overnight stay in Dracula's castle. It was a legit castle that they were renting out and were Count Dracula, Vlad the Impaler actually stayed at or lived at. The victim's ghost we spoke about. We spoke about the entity. We spoke about ghost haunting and Out Raven the co-host. So that's what it is. I don't know why off the cuff I just started quoting the Raven. I love the Raven. I love Edgar Allan Poe. I love his short stories. So I was just fucking feeling it and just went for it and attacked the Raven. So. I don't know. I know a lot of people were like, dude, that was pretty fucking sick. Did you have anything in front of you? And Adam's tripping down on me like, holy shit, you quoted that right off the top of your head. Anyways, so we hit Comic Talk, Comic News. Netflix Punisher begins filming. Ho! Netflix and Punisher. Evangeline Lilly confirms Avengers 4 role. Netflix Daredevil Season 1 release date. Again, bummer news. New Mutants casting. Ooh, okay. New Mutants was casted. They did film it. It was part of the Fox thing. It was supposed to be released, oh my goodness, about a year and a half ago. They keep pushing that movie. It was available in our summer movie drop for this summer, 2019, and it already got pushed. So now with the Fox merger with Disney, we don't know what properties are going to stay out or get released for the most part. This one I had hopes for because I loved New Mutants. We had let's see, Spider-Man spinoff news coming soon. Lego launches a DC superhero girls line. We hit Microsoft Gears of War game series to be adapted to film. We hit new Nova and Iceman ongoing series and wrap up with comic reviews. The Clone Conspiracy number 1, Daredevil number 12, All-Star Batman number 3, and Red Hood and the Outlaws number 3. All right, guys, I'm going to go through these as quick as I can. I have bullet points, I have news, I have San Diego talk, I have just talk in general, and it's going to be a long show, so bear with me. Bullet points first, a huge thank you and shout out to Alan from the 2OC podcast. Please find that podcast, guys, if you guys like the show at all. These guys are legit great guys. So Anton and Alan, did hang out with them a good portion of the San Diego Comic Con weekend. I mean, we kept going, doing our own thing. I had interviews. They wanted panels. I went in at different panels. So to hang out with them, but to know these guys, legit in person, they're good guys. Find their podcast. They talk about everything, more stuff than I do. They're foodies. They talk about food. They talk about more probably gaming stuff and more TV as well. But they're a pop culture podcast. But again, back to Alan. Thank you for your help with the audio for the San Diego Comic-Con interviews, dude. I bumped into a roadblock last night, and I'm going to go over that. So just coming off of the Comic-Con weekend, I've still been at it working and having ideas and writing still. And I do have an update, I guess. I have interviews lined up for the Audio Chronicles. I met a teacher, and he's like sitting in my class anytime, and he teaches freshmen and seniors, and he's like, dude, please come in anytime you want. You're more than welcome. And I'm like, would you mind if I interviewed you? And he's like, no. So that one's lined up. I still have Joe I got to hit. And then Audio Chronicles, I'm still pumping those out. Like, I'm still writing those. I haven't stopped. I have a bunch stacked up. Those ones are going to keep coming, and it's just the creative process, and what I do is weird, but it's just because I probably haven't touched those in a while. It's going to make sense when they come out, guys, but it's a lot of work doing a podcast. If a lot of people don't know, especially if you work, you know, if you just have one job, it's a lot of work. If you have two jobs, it even sucks more. A podcast is a third job for me, and it sucks. It's beautiful, it's great, and it's a mind fuck sometimes, but it's a good mind fuck. It's a creative mind fuck, and it's something that I just love and enjoy doing in general. And this is the part that sucks about it. My last bullet point is recording issues. It's probably the biggest thing for me. Last night I did record an intro to The Impractical Jokers. So you guys either heard that last week, or you guys are going to hear that within the next few days when I put it out finally. But it was a bitch. So Alan got me back my audio, which was great. Again, thank you, Alan. But I still had to edit and plug into my podcast still and intro it. So that editing process, it just fucking sucks. Sometimes I can breeze through it, and sometimes it can just be a bitch where it's so nerve-wracking where it's like, fuck, this fucked up my whole night. Like, this whole recording was a bust. And that's essentially what it was last night. So, all right, that's all I got for bullet points. But again, Alan, Anton, find those guys at 2OC Podcast. You guys can subscribe to those guys anywhere you guys can find podcasts and reach out to them. All right, so let's hit some movie news real quick. Stallone, next Rocky film, confronts America's immigration issues. Rocky creator and star Sylvester Stallone revealed he's working on a new film in the franchise that would address immigration issues in America. Timely, yes, but for a Rocky movie. I don't know if he should attach Rocky to it, but I don't know. We'll see what happens, because I really loved the Creed. So I don't know how the Creed is going to work in with this world. R-rated Mortal Kombat movie will include fatalities. So it's going to be rated R, and they said, fuck it. Let's do it. Let's rip some heads out. Halloween. Two Michael Myers sequels announced by Blumhouse. The saga of Michael Myers and Laurie Strode will continue in 2020's Halloween Kills, before concluding in 2021's Halloween Ends. I feel bad. I'm a fan of horror movies, B horror movies, C horror movies, and I just love them completely. So the fact that they're going to do two more, and I didn't see the last one after saying I do love these movies. Jamie Lee Curtis came back, and that was the pull for me, but it did well in the box office, so it would make sense, and Blumhouse has been putting out some pretty good movies for the most part. Mad Max. Miller has plans for two more movies, plus Furiosa spinoff. Fury Road director George Miller confirmed ideas for two more films, plus a Furiosa spinoff, and expressed his optimism about the franchise's future. All right. Let's hit some DC talk real quick. Warner Media's streaming service officially named HBO Max. Nearly 1 year after the Warner Media announced it planned to launch a streaming service of its own to compete with Netflix and Disney Plus, we finally know the name of the newcomer to the increasingly cord-cutting market. So it's going to be called HBO Max. Do you guys want to pay for this? Let me ask you guys a question real quick. Are you guys going to keep Netflix? Are you guys going to keep or start a subscription with Disney Plus? Or would you guys start a subscription with HBO Max? Now, is it three separate streaming services you're going to pay for? Or does one sound more appealing than the other about now? And just think about that Disney library already. That's the Twitter question I need to put up. All right, let me make a note of that. Okay, Marvel talk. Marvel Hero Tales lets players make their own superhero stories. So, Kuwato Studios is developing Marvel Hero Tales, an educational app in which popular heroes such as Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel will help players between the ages of 7 and 11 develop their language and reading skills by creating comic books. The app allows children to personalize their experiences through the narrative action system and will follow them as they level up by completing activities such as word collection and comprehension of words. Players then use those words to help create a story by building sentences that transform into comic book panels. This sounds fucking dope. I don't care if it's for a kid. I'm so about this fucking app. It doesn't say how soon or when it's going to come out, but they are working on that app. I'm fucking down. Next one. All right, let's hit the next page. We have Joe Quesada hosts Disney Plus launch series Storyboards. The latest Disney Plus series news, Marvel's Storyboards, will see Joe Quesada travel the world while interviewing creatives from different fields. And I believe they announced the first batch of people that, of course, I don't have with me right now. Next one's going to be John Wick creator boards Disney Plus's Falcon and Winter Soldier. So the cats behind those are going to be behind Falcon and Winter Soldier. I'm down with this already because of those action sequences already. I'm down with that. This is just a cool Star Wars news. Star Wars, Charles Soule will chart the rise of Kylo Ren. This is going to be a specifically based comic only. Marvel's Star Wars and Darth Vader writer Charles Soule will pen Star Wars The Rise of Kylo Ren this December before the next movie releases. Okay, I'd love the fuck out of Charles Soule. He's a great writer, and he's not just a writer. He is a legit lawyer, and his everything he brings to the table for everything I've read from him. I love and adore from Swamp Thing to Darth Vader, to Star Wars. His storytelling is great. All right, next one's going to be Disney's The Lion King passes $1 billion worldwide. And this came out a few days ago. I still need to watch the movie. It put me in second place right now. I think third place for our summer movie draft I'm doing with Alan again, Anton, my boy RG, Carl, Team Sun, a Vixen, I believe. But yeah, dude, so that's going to be pretty dope. Hopefully I can come up. I doubt it. We're going to do, let's hit, you know what, San Diego Comic-Con. I told you guys there weren't a lot of people in full force at the San Diego Comic-Con 2019. So, just in saying that, Marvel had a huge presence, and they were in Hall H. So Feige introduced Phase 4. November 6, 2020 will be the Eternals movie. Next thing announced was Fall 2020, The Falcon and Winter Soldier show coming to Disney+. February 12, 2021 will be Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. They have dropped sprinkles of the Ten Rings throughout all the Marvel movies so far. And Ten Rings is specifically Mandarin, if you look at it. An old villain from mainly Iron Man. But the fact that they wrote it terrible and the fact that they can hopefully pull and make it better and actually introduce a proper Mandarin, not like Iron Man 2 did, I'm kind of jazzed about. Spring 2021 will be the release of WandaVision show. So Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Bettany are coming back for that one. Doctor Strange. So this is going to be interesting, guys. May 2021. Will be the Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. The director came on stage to talk about Doctor Strange and its psychedelic weirdness. And we're going to make the first Marvel Cinematic Universe scary movie. You know what? Yes. Just try it. Just in saying that, though, the New Mutants movie that was going to be released by Fox was going to be full-on horror. And I wanted to see that vision because those stories are so great and beautiful and sick and fucking dope. So that Marvel is probably, Disney is not going to release New Mutants probably, possibly on the streaming service, possibly somewhere else, or they just might put it in the vault and lock it up forever. I don't quite see them go in the latter route, but they could possibly just sweep it under the rug. as bad as the Dark Phoenix movie was and did for Fox before they got shot down. Summer 2021 will be the release of What If, the first animated series from Marvel Studios, and every actor will be reprising their roles. Hit November 5th, 2021. This is going to be dope, dude. Thor, Love and Thunder with Chris Hemsworth. Taika Waititi's coming back. Tessa Thompson's coming back as Valkyrie. And Jane Foster, Natalie Portman is back. She's going to become the female Thor. And this one's weird because the backlash on this one. Like, look. You broads want a strong, empowering woman. Strong female character. This is it for you guys. I like her more than Captain Marvel. So to see the feedback, and weird, it's not coming from the dudes this time around necessarily. Although it is. A lot of it's coming from the women. So what the fuck is going on here? I know Chris Hemsworth is sexy as fuck. And you girls know him as Thor. Read the fucking comics and read how great of a character Jane Foster, the mighty Thor, is, and you guys would shut the fuck up. So yeah, I'm completely bored on Thor, the mighty Thor, Jane Foster. All right, just had to get that off my chest. And again, you women. All right, we were going to do. Oh, Marvel Studios announced Blade. So that's going to be Mahershala Ali. I probably said that wrong. Marvel confirms Black Panther 2, Captain Marvel 2 in development. Both Black Panther 2 and Captain Marvel are happening according to Marvel Studios. Kevin Feige. All right. Yes, on top of that, it was Hall H panel, and he's just running and gunning off all this information. At the end, he's like, damn it, I didn't even talk about the X-Men. I didn't even talk about the Fantastic Four. And it's like, the fuck you... have information. You have more information. All right, guys. We're rounding up the end of comic news. New York City to name Bronx Street after Stan Lee. New York City Council recently approved a proposal to name a street in the Bronx after Stan Lee. Voting commenced on Tuesday for a proposal to co-name University Avenue between Brant Place and West 176th Street after Lee. The New York City Council approved the proposal, and the street is set to be co-named Stan Lee Way. Pretty fucking dope. Last of San Diego Comic-Con news, comic talk in particular, is Snyder Soul and Kevin Conley teaming up for new Image Comics series. Image Comics reveals Scott Snyder. Love that dude. Interviewed him. Charles Soule and Giuseppe Kevin Conley will team up for a new ongoing series, Undiscovered Country. It's pretty dope. I just love those guys as a writer. And Giuseppe Kevin Conley, I love his art. So I'm completely down with this. DC teams with Joel Hill for pop-up core line of comics. It's going to be called Hill House. It's going to be under the Black Label, DC Black Label banner that they currently started. And last one to wrap it up is going to be Comic Still Marvel's Absolute Carnage event extended. New cover revealed. All right, I'm jazzed about this event already. Ryan Stegman, I love the fuck out of his art. The way Donnie Cates is writing Venom. I love the fuck out of these guys together. And the fact that there's going to be a bunch of tie-ins throughout the whole Marvel universe. I'm going to pick and choose which ones because I'm not reading everything from Marvel. But the ones that appeal to me, I'm definitely going to reach out to and find and read and hopefully review for you guys. But I'm really stoked. It was supposed to be, I believe, a 5-issue arc. Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman's Absolute Carnage has been extended by 1 issue ahead of Marvel's event series release next month. And again, I'm jazzed for that. I'll go over more on that as it progresses and it goes through. All right, guys. Give me a second. I'll be right back with some comic talk. Whoop.
2, 1. What's up, guys? This is Shola Maridueña, Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai.
This is Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk. And you're listening to the Comic Syndicate. Woo.
All right, guys. I'm back. I just had to do that. I had to kill some time. I had to jump out real quick. All right. Comic reviews. I only have one. It's going to be a Marvel Comics title. I have a feeling I'm going to go fucking long on this one because I loved the fuck out of it. It was really good. And just a premise that I was in the next big thing Marvel panel at San Diego Comic Con, the only panel I got to enjoy and had to wait in line and fuck 2 panels prior. But I had time to kill when I wasn't interviewing people. And the stories I have, not a lot of people have heard all the stories about San Diego Comic-Con and what interviews I did miss and how I missed them and why it made sense. And people were like, dude, it sounded like you had more interviews lined up. I have a lot of stories about those things. Like, I was supposed to interview the cast of V, the writer of V, the show from the 80s that I grew up on. And I was going to meet Mark Singer. It is Mark Singer. And it was just something I wanted to do. And it was something Moses and Jonathan and I used to watch together as kids. So my brothers and my pops. So after losing my brother this year, it's like, this is something I want to do. So as I'm walking down the ship section of the Comic-Con, the bayfront, walking to the hotel where I'm supposed to get to, I'm walking by, and it's a beautiful, gorgeous day, a hot day, by the way, but I've come across the IMD boat, and Kevin Smith happens to be interviewing the cast of Cobra Kai. I have interviewed Cobra Kai before, and it's a dope show, and I haven't seen them interacting on an IMD boat, so on the boat, the end of the tail of the boat, they had a giant screen, and they were playing legit, proper, the interview that was going on at the moment. So I got enthralled. I got sucked into it, dude, where I kept looking at my clock. I'm like, okay, I can make it in 10 minutes. I can still hit my interview. Like, I'm going to have to hustle, but I can still make it. The interview lasted, and I'm like, fuck, now if I'm late, I just look improper, and it sucks. I have a lot of stories like that. Like, even their panel they did, the Cobra Kai panel. Like, I had an interview for, I believe it was Batman Beyond, the 20th anniversary for that. And the dates and the interviews I have for that, that's when I see Willem Zabka again, and I've interviewed Homeboy. And just cheesy stories like that. Like, walking by, seeing him out for a cigarette, and turned the corner, and I'm like, hey, William, I'm sorry to bother you, man. He's like, hey, press guy. Legit what he says. And he's like, I'm like, hey, man, shake his hand. I'm like, you're killing it, man. I interviewed you a few months ago at WonderCon. He's like, yeah, I remember you. What was your name again? Josiah. He's like, hey, Josiah, man, thanks, man. I totally appreciate it. No, you're doing a great job. I'm like, hey, man, have a good one. Are you going to come to the panel? I'm like, I have some interviews lined up pretty much back to back today. I would love to, but hopefully I'll catch the info later on. All right, cool. You have a good one. Late. I walk by where I'm walking off to my interview, and I turn around. I'm like, hey, Will, I'm so sorry. I would be kicking myself in the ass right now if I didn't ask for, is it cool if we take a picture together? He's like, no, man, that's completely cool. So one of his bodyguards, he has two cats with him. He's like, I'll take the picture for you guys. Cool. Awesome. All right, let me set it up. All right, dope. Here you go. And the way we're going to take the picture initially was the hotel in the background. He's like, nah, man, take the picture. Look at this beautiful view we have right here. That way we have that in the background. It looks like we're two bros just having a good vacation together. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I start rolling. I'm like, all right, dope, dude. Sounds good. So I'm like, I appreciate the picture, man. Have a good one. He's like, all right, man. Good seeing you. So just weird, cool shit that happened. A lot of cool, weird shit like that did happen the whole weekend. So many stories for hopefully another day. I doubt it. But those that do know the stories already, I hope you like them. They were funny to me. All right, back to the comic review. This is going to be House of X, number one. It's a Marvel Comics title. Jonathan Hickman is one of my favorite writers as well. He writes one of my favorite titles right now for Image Comics, East of West. And I love that title. Pepe Larraz is the artist, and Marie Gracia is the inker. The first page I really love already, as it almost feels in the vein of East of West, with a single page reading, "Humans of the planet Earth, while you slept, the world changed. Professor X." As the next page, we see Professor X now in front of a giant tree full of cocoons. Odd looking gel, I don't know, like gem cocoons, it's weird, that are now slowly, little by little, breaking open. We see Scott and Jean, a few others coming out of these shells, cocoons, with Professor X now saying, "To me, my X-Men." Next page's panels are of Krakoa. And it's a mutant that happens to be a giant island. So this, and I'm going to have to break down. Krakoa is an island, but it's a mutant. It was created as a result of, I guess, nuclear experiments that were going on, created Krakoa. And it's really cool. It controls all of its planet growth on the island, uses plant and animals alike, like as an extension of itself. It can also rearrange the landmass of the island. In almost any way, sorry about that, guys. Well, where we get these pages now, and I just had to give you some background because Krakoa plays a huge part of the story. Where we get these pages now of what happened prior. So 5 months ago, Krakoa, Krakoa, we see the island. Colossus picking flowers there. 4 months ago, a panel, Westchester. Storm with a potted flower. 3 months ago, the blue, area of the moon. A man planting one of these flowers on the surface of the moon that I assume to be Iceman. 2 months ago, Mars. One of the youngster ex-kids planting one there. 1 month ago, the Savage Land, Beast, reading while watching over or maybe even studying these plants. As the story continues on, though, we see two men arriving at a certain building called the Jerusalem Habitat, where it looks like the plant life has taken over this building facility. As we finally get dialogue from the men now, talking about Professor X and how Professor X had sent a telepathic message to the world about an offer he was proposing. Then we get some more dialogue from these men, and they state how they would never do something like this. But continue on even talking about this habitat they are now at. Like how one of the men has not only never heard of this, not facility before, but even this sovereign nation they're even at now, or even knowing it even existed. A woman now finally interjects about this drug. And this is some dialogue. Okay, let me explain this real quick, actually. There are technically three drugs. And it's going to sound odd. But there is an offer, and let me hit these drugs real quick. That sounds terrible. Let me hit these drugs real quick. There are technically three. One can extend human life for 5 full years. The second drug prevents diseases of the mind. The third is the most effective and powerful and most adaptive antibiotic ever. Now, do they sound terrible? Like, even the fact that I'm said drug, and even the fact that the comic said drug, they're pharmaceuticals. I mean, technically. So if any of you guys are science cats or med field kids or just medical field people, I think you guys might dig. And I'll go get into that in a bit, as it also has its effect on mutants as well. So now these men carry on about their conversation as they argue now over this quote-unquote gift or this proposal that Professor X had offered them, and not just them, but everyone. It's not a gift if you have to pay. Xavier is only offering these miracle drugs to nations that recognize his. Okay, listen to that. And how do you feel about that, guys, listeners at that? Like, let me pose a question. Is that a fair trade? Now, pharmaceutical, cool. Now, here's, Professor X's, his proposal was exactly this. Like, you guys are welcome to take these, but you guys have to acknowledge Krakoa, our land, as a sovereign nation. So respect that. And that's cool. That's all I ask from you guys. So anyways, is that a terrible fucking deal? Okay. So now that these men care about their conversation. Okay. Now listen to that. Okay. Anyways, we can now get some shady shit from these two guys. Well, with this, we'll take the offer to find out the benefits of these drugs, these medicines, these placebos, these HGHs, like what do you guys want to call them? Pharmaceuticals. Copy it, remake it, then find a loophole later type of mentality out of these cats. As this goes down, we finally see these guys get welcomed now by the Stepford Cuckoos. It sounds terrible to say that about them, but they're Emma Frost's daughters. So they were, I believe, not quints initially. They were four quadruplets, completely identical quadruplets that have her powers as well. Telekinesis, telepathic abilities. The more there are together, the powerful they are. So now, that's what happened. So only two, though, are here to greet these guys. Where these guys, these delegates, are now quick to ask about where's Professor X. And before they're even able to answer, the girls, another gentleman all in white arrives to greet them and apologize. Where we get this dialogue. Open the woman, like, freaks out. Magneto. Please. Ambassador is fine. Follow me and I'll give you the tour. And these are just sick pages just to see Magneto, and he's one of my favorite characters anyways. This whole comic actually is beautiful. So Pepe Larraz is bringing his A-game already, and to see, wow, Jonathan Hickman gave him work to draw this, and it's beautiful. Page front to end is gorgeous. All right, so now we get a Jonathan Hickman move, and it goes down as the next page you turn. You get a full page breakdown of the flowers of Krakoa. And the way he writes East of West, he always gives one page to kind of give a small, brief synopsis of something, of what's going on. This one happens to be for the flowers of Krakoa. the mutant island of Kuroka is not just the home of mutants and the seat of their nation, stated. It is also the only known producer of the primary economic resource of the mutant nation. As this Now page also breaks down the synapses and effects this quote-unquote drug now has on both humans and mutants. So those are the three for the humans. For the mutants, it's you're able to travel from one place to another where Krakoa has these points, these weird checkpoints where you can literally go from habitat to habitat. I forgot the other two. I should have had those on board for you guys. It's been a long week, guys. I've been busy at the office. So even that I got this much done already. Anyways, and then the fourth one, there's an odd effect it has on mutants, but it's still undefined yet. Like, it's in black. Like, no one has gotten to this point where there's been an ill adverse effect yet. So anyways, so that's what it breaks down for that. Now, the comic finally jumps into another location now, the Gray Malkin Habitat. This is in Westchester, New York, as we get a page of a bunch of young mutant children wearing almost the classic blue-yellow suits of the X-Men, where a young girl now asks Jean if anyone can travel through these gateways, these Krakoa gateways, as she breaks down the rules. So she's like, yes, but mutants can travel here freely, and humans can never come here. And it's just weird, but I'll go over those as the comic progresses. She also tells the girl and all the youngsters that they're welcome here, and that this is now their new home. So, as we see Professor X now telepathically say, welcome home, Jean. You're safe here. It's just cool to get these. When we then get a single page layout map now of the island of Krakoa, which is just dope. And again, very east of west-ish for them to build this world and this technically Krakoa island that we've seen in comics many times, but to break it down is really, really sick. So fucking Jonathan Hickman. The way this comic is broken down is just beautiful and dope. As we get introduced now to the antagonist, I guess, a crew arrive at a space orbital atmospheric, I don't know, some space station facility, checking up on the diagnostics, the hazards, and the vitals of this place, as they're preparing now for what's to come, as they say. These Orcus protocols is what it's called, and how this team was activated. They sent all the machinery to Mercury now, as two characters are talking, to mine and excavate materials because they currently have enough resources in this space station. And it's giant, ginormous. But they look out and say, but if we ever need to build anything, we'll just ask her. As we see something gnarly. And on page, it's gorgeous to see. It's just beautiful the way, again, Pepe Larraz is drawing everything. But you know this is going to be a bitch for the X-Men later on down the road. So I'm curious to see what he does with it. A master mold, sentinel, Nimrod, giant, floating head satellite. Which is weird and crazy to say. But if you guys know the mutants and the X-Men, sentinels are giant robots created to kill anyone with mutant DNA. I like it already. All right, guys, so Orcus Protocol. Its initial establishment of Doomsday Network based on evolutionary research regarding the extinction level population density of Homo sapiens superior is what mutants are called. As we see the full makeup of this organization made up of agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., AIM, Strike, Hammer, Sword, Armor, Alpha Flight, and even members of HYDRA. So to get us all this information, Jonathan Hickman fucking just broke down this comic. If you guys are any new young readers or new to the X-Men, if you don't know this world, this is a great jumping on point because you don't need to know all these characters, but just the dialogue in this single issue alone is fucking jam-packed. So I loved it, dude. All right, so as we see full makeup of this organization, and we're back to something that they came across. Shell companies owned by mutant activists. And Charles Xavier purchasing the seventh largest pharmaceutical company and offering now three new quote-unquote drugs. And this is what they got these red flags over. The territorial alert as well. The mutant nation of Krakoa was established. Looking at these, again, as red flags. Crazy to go into, like, Genosha and the genocide that went down there. Genosha was a place where mutants were murdered. So their numbers have dwindled completely since then. But for them to even make a nod to that was sick and beautiful and fucked up and gnarly. And there's mutant death camps. The scene now jumps to Sabretooth, Mystique, and Toad stealing information from Damage Control, needing this information for some reason that we don't know. For what cause, we don't know yet. As we see two heroes now show up that I wasn't expecting at all. We see Johnny Storm and Ben Grimm. We see the Human Torch and the Thing show up. And they start scrapping, or Sabretooth gets laid out. As he's like, you guys bail, I'll take care of these guys. And he gets rocked just by the Thing by himself. From there, it jumps back to the beginning of the comic, where it looks like Magic, I believe, is now showing these delegates around, explaining the Krakoa gateways and hubs, and informing them of being able to access any number of habitats. And they're like an interconnected ecosystem, is the best way to put it, where there's even talk of a new language that the mutants have created. And Magneto says, of course we did. One cannot create a distinct culture without it. So, again, this interconnected network system and what happens. And one of the gentlemen brings up, this is worldwide, though. Like, how far? Like, we've already seen in the comic, like, okay, you have Mars, you have the moon. Like, where one of the men now asks a legit good question. The military aspects of it all. People being able to move a full army anywhere. Like, what the fuck? Magneto says, there has never been a mutant war ambassador. We've never conquered a people, stolen their land, or made slaves of the vanquished. That's our real advantage. You have heard Charles Xavier's offer. Mutants are the evolutionary inheritors of this world. All of it. But instead of claiming it, we're giving it to you. And only keeping a small portion for ourselves. The island you see is ours, and ours alone. Man is not welcome there. As the comic then jumps back now to the heist job, where some really interesting things go down. So Sabretooth is finally about to book it. So Toad and Mystique make it to one of these portal gateways. And Susan Storm and Reed Richards show up. She traps Sabretooth in an invisible cage, and warp closes. Susan's like, Reed, it's opening again. And it's really just dope to see this really great dialogue between these characters. Out walks Cyclops. And it's just great as Cyclops walks up. Ben, congratulations on your marriage, man. I heard about it. He's like, Susan, how you doing? Good, Cyclops, how are you doing? You know, things. I'm working. He's like, so how's everything else with you guys? And Reed's like, so. And he's like, okay, let's do this real quick. Amnesty, let me take homeboy back. And Reed Richards tells Cyclops straight up, like, no, dick. He's committed a bunch of crimes today already, and he probably killed a few people in the fucking facility. He's like, I'm not going to hand him over. And just the way it's written and the facial expressions on these characters between Cyclops and Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, is pretty fucking dope. And it looks like there's just this wedge is the best way to put it. And Cyclops, this amnesty, the other things, and actually this is Susan, she's like, Cyclops, this amnesty, the other things Xavier is doing, what are all of you thinking? And I love Cyclops. Took me a long time to like him, but I do like Cyclops. Cyclops' response is, my family has spent our entire lives being hunted and hated. The world has told me I was less when I knew I was more. Did you honestly think we were going to sit around forever and just take it? Susan answers, of course not, but... And then Cyclops says, it's really very simple, Susan. I believe in what Charles Xavier is doing. Please, greet your son for me. And tell him when he's ready, he has family on Krakoa waiting for him. Okay. Fantastic Four, I love the fuck out of. They got their powers through radiation on an astronaut mission, on a space mission. That's how they got their abilities. Susan Storm can manipulate portals, invisible portals. Mr. Fantastic Reed Richards can stretch. He's stretchy. Stretch Armstrong. They have several kids, two kids, and Valeria Richards and Franklin Richards, the oldest one. Technically, because they were born with abilities. Not given to them, but distinctly by gene. They're technically mutants. So I love how Cyclops kind of throws that out. Like, I just love it, dude. Like, please greet your son for me and tell him when he's ready. He has family on Krakoa waiting for him. Mutants are a family. It's a different family, but it's family. I mean, look at it. Why do you think I love these characters so much? And Franklin Richards is just an Omega, not even Alpha, Omega level mutant. So he can manipulate reality, but on a universal scale. So he's fucking a powerful cat. The title now jumps back one more time to the Jerusalem habitat, where Magneto now poses a simple question. So what have we learned? As the guy's like, yeah, we give you guys sovereign, we can take your drugs. He's like, no, not you. And as this mutant, again, I think it's magic, goes over each of these ambassadors' backgrounds, ideals, affiliations, and motives, pretty much in a tight dialogue sequence. And just really dope and smart the way it's written. As she ends with, this one has a weapon. Do you want me to do something? No need. And it's just great. Magneto knew about it, the gun, and the way this panel is broken down. Simple him using his powers to pick up the man, but to dismantle the gun piece by piece. Like you see, it's so many pieces of this gun across, and it's dope. The man says, I wasn't going to use it. It was only for my protection. Magneto's answer is, of course, that's how it always starts. It's a dope fucking title. The way it ends is gnarly, and it gave me like one of those, the fuck? Like, what is going to happen? This is why I love fucking reading. This is what I love reading. Jonathan Hickman, I love the fuck out of his writing. He can write fucking Dumbo and I'll fucking read it. Just because he would probably bring something different to the table. And Long Game and Long Ball, the way he's put so much into this already, you can tell by just this single issue. And it's not a regular size issue. It's like a good 45 pager, I think. But it's a dope fucking title. Definitely Book of the Week. And Powers. This is Powers of X number one. House of X. Oh, no. Powers of. Okay, one more time. I've lost, guys. Sorry. This one is going to be House of X number one. Powers of X drops today. I need to review that. And it's going to be two ongoing six-issue titles that work well together, or you can read them separately. But Jonathan Hickman's also writing that one, and I'm curious because they do work together. All right, guys. I'm back to more work, so don't mind me. Share the podcast more than anything. Find me at subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. I'm at for the, oh my God, I got one more episode to record after this. I'm at For the Villain on Twitter, at Comic _ Syndicate on Instagram, at Comic Syndicate 1 on Twitter. Share the podcast more than anything with like-minded individuals. Share this fucking particular episode. I'm really jazzed about this review, and it's for any newcomers to X-Men or the X-World. This is a great jumping on point, and let's see where it goes. All right, I'll catch you guys next week. Peace out.